The scripture readings this morning featured the stories of two different people receiving a call. First, we heard about Samuel hearing the voice of God calling and telling him to deliver a message to the prophet Eli. And then we heard just now that Nathanael met Jesus and Jesus invited Nathanael to follow him. These two stories take place roughly 1,000 years apart, but there are a lot of parallels between the stories. So first of all, Samuel and Nathanael were not powerful people. Samuel was still a child when he started hearing God speak to him. And most of the apostles who were called by Jesus were fishermen. Fishing is a solid line of work, but it's not exactly glamorous. And for that matter, even Jesus wasn't an obvious pick to lead a religious revolution. Nathanael was not going to be impressed by some guy from Nazareth. So people from humble backgrounds seem to be called about as often as people from more influential families when we look at stories throughout the Bible. Second, we see that both Samuel and Nathanael had been preparing to hear a call, even if they didn't expect that to be quite so spoken when they heard it. Samuel had been living at the temple since he was a young child, and his parents dedicated him to a life of service. We don't know much about Nathanael, but when his friend Philip came and told him about Jesus, Philip said, "We found him." And that language suggests that Nathanael had been actively seeking the Messiah. He might have been among the crowds who were listening to John the Baptist preach just a few verses before we get to the story about the calling of Nathanael. And some people have guessed that maybe when he was sitting under the tree, he was studying the Torah or doing something that would have been actively seeking enlightenment about who the Messiah was going to be. Being prepared, because they'd had these years of studying potentially, meant that both Samuel and Nathanael were ready to receive a specific call. Now, specific calls don't necessarily come at the most convenient time. Samuel was just trying to get a good night's sleep, and that loud, booming voice was keeping him from getting his REM cycles. But he responded, and Nathanael was chilling under a fig tree in his hometown of Cana, and he gets the call from Jesus to drop everything, walk away from what he's known, and he was ready to do that. And third, we see that both Samuel and Nathanael had people in their lives who helped them prepare for and then interpret that call. So Samuel's parents, Elkanah and Hannah, started him on his journey to a call. And then Eli was the mentor who realized who Samuel was hearing and told Samuel how to respond when he heard that voice again in the night. And Eli continued to encourage Samuel's calling as a prophet, even after Samuel gave him this bad news about his own family. In Nathanael's case, his friend Philip got him excited about meeting Jesus before he actually met Jesus face to face. Philip knew that Nathanael was searching for the Messiah. He knew that Nathanael was a good man with a good heart. And so Philip was instrumental in recruiting Nathanael to be one of the first disciples. So together, these two scripture passages provide some helpful insights about what it means to be called. First, they're a reminder that all Christians are called to serve the church like Samuel and to follow Jesus like Nathanael. But we also are called to follow Jesus in particular ways that use our individual gifts and talents for the benefit of the church and the benefit of the world. We see in the stories of Samuel and Nathanael that God can call anyone. We see that calls usually happen after a time of preparation, even if a particular call is unexpected. And we see that calls happen at any time, and they happen in the context of community. So let's take a closer look at point number one, that God can call anyone. Most of the people in the Bible who were called in a specific way, even the ones called in a grand way, were not illustrious people when they were called. I like the way the prophet Amos tells the story of his calling. He said, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was a shepherd, and I also took care of fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" If we translate that in today's language, that would be like saying, "I worked as a checkout clerk at Walmart, and I had a side gig as an Uber driver. And then I got this call to negotiate the peace treaty that won me the Nobel Prize. You know, just happened like that. You don't have to be a rich person or a world leader to get a calling. Anyone can be called to do something great. And it's possible that your call is a grand one, like Noah being called to build an ark. But it's likely that it's a more modest call to faithful service. Either way, that's a call. And you don't have an excuse on this. You aren't too young or too old to be called. You aren't too ordinary to be called. And it doesn't matter where you live or what grades you got in school or how skilled you are at various tasks. No matter who you are, God can call you to specific roles that only you can fill. Point number two, God usually calls people after a time of preparation. There are many ways that people experience a call that doesn't involve voices booming in the night, or burning bushes, or other dramatic presentations. It's nice when it happens that way, and it's really clear. But a more typical way of having a call, you start to have a vague sense that there's a particular ministry you're being called to participate in, or maybe even to start or to lead. So maybe you think that you might be called to be a pastor or a missionary, or you think that you're called maybe in some specific way to serve people who are homeless, or people with drug addictions, or other people who are members of disadvantaged populations. Maybe you're sensing a call to become an advocate for criminal justice reform, or the rights of vulnerable children, or you're feeling called to take on another human rights or environmental issue. You might already be connected to a particular issue. So maybe your work has opened your eyes to the problems of the world in a particular way. So you are seeing firsthand the negative impacts of child abuse, food insecurity, unstable housing, mass incarceration, environmental degradation, poor access to healthcare, or other challenges. Or maybe you have realized that you have a special set of talents. So you have a gift for working with children, or people with disabilities, or people who are dying. And you know that the work that you actually enjoy is work that would be exhausting and emotionally draining for other people. Or maybe you have a gift for creating music and art that makes the world a beautiful place. Or a gift for encouraging people and making us laugh. Or you have a knack for doing technical things, or organizing groups of people, or managing budgets. Or maybe the call that you're beginning to sense has nothing to do with your background at all. Some calls are related to our jobs, but many aren't. But the same idea keeps popping into your head, often at unexpected times. So you're at the grocery store checkout line and you find yourself thinking about it. Or you're up in the wee hours of the morning searching the internet for information about this thing. Or you've become aware of some issue in a new way, and you can't help but notice how people are affected by it when you're at the gym or the coffee shop or you're riding metro into work. When you start overhearing conversations about the topic, you can't tune those out like you used to. And you may be hesitant to talk about the idea with anybody because you know that if you talk about it, you might have to act on it. If you tell people you're thinking about taking a seminary class, that person might tell you it's a good idea. If you say you're thinking about attending an information session hosted by a local nonprofit because you might want to be a volunteer, you might actually have to follow through on it. And it could be really bad to think or admit that you're thinking about volunteering to do something at church because you know if you volunteer for something, you're going to be stuck doing that forever. But maybe over time, you get more comfortable with the idea of the call. And your trepidation fades away, and you find yourself excited about embarking on a new pathway. Your fears about time commitments, your doubts about your own abilities, and other barriers that seemed insurmountable may fade away. And you may find yourself at peace about accepting a new role and making a change. It usually takes time to recognize and accept a calling. A call is a call for change. It's a call for something new. And that can be uncomfortable. For Samuel, that call meant delivering bad news to his mentor. That would be hard for anybody, but Samuel was a kid being asked to speak in a very direct and uncomfortable way to somebody who was much older and much more powerful and who he greatly respected. When Nathanael and the other disciples were called to be followers of Jesus, they left their fishing nets behind. They left their families and their homes behind to follow Jesus as he traveled from place to place. They had to give up the comfort of their own beds and the ease of staying in their home communities where they knew everyone and everyone knew them. For most people, the call to follow Jesus doesn't mean that we have to quit our jobs and move somewhere else. It does for some. But even if a call doesn't require that level of change, it can still be disruptive in other ways. It might mean new responsibilities and new commitments. It might mean opening yourself up to the hurt of the world in a new way, becoming aware of your own limitations in a new way, maybe realizing that you haven't fully embraced the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Frederick Buechner famously said that the place God calls you is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. But deep gladness isn't about superficial happiness or about personal ambition. It's about the fulfillment that comes from a life well led. And a calling isn't really about you. It's about God and about being responsive to God's leading in your life. And that brings us to point number three, that calls happen in the context of community. This is January. It's a time of year when many people think about what we want for ourselves in the coming year. And personal reflection is a good first step toward discerning a call. But a call isn't something that usually happens in isolation. Samuel and Nathanael heard and understood their calling only after parents and mentors and friends and other people had prepared them to receive their calls and help them to interpret them. As members of a church family, we have the opportunity, or we could say we have the responsibility, to help each other discern our calls. A couple of notes about what that means. So first of all, discernment isn't about thanking people for the work they're already doing. Don't get me wrong, it's good to recognize the various ways that people are serving, whether those are visible roles, and perhaps most especially if it's invisible roles. We want to acknowledge the good that people are doing. But thanking people is different than discerning a call. And also, discernment is not about finding tasks for people to do. So it's not discernment to say, I am discerning that you should bring a dessert to the next carry-in meal because your last name starts with A through J. And it's not discernment to say, there's a dripping faucet in the kitchen and somebody should maybe do something about that. That is doing the work of the church. It's not discernment. Discernment is about seeing a talent in someone who may not yet see that gift in himself or herself. Discernment requires building relationships that enable us to truly know one another. It means paying attention to the things that seem to give various people that deep gladness, and then talking about those observations with those people to see what's in their heart. Discernment means being open and honest about what you might be feeling called to do. It means being bold enough to ask members of the church family to help you interpret your potential callings. It means being willing to embrace a calling that's affirmed by the church community. And it also might mean being willing to let go of a discernment thought that you might realize in the context of community is not the calling that you thought it might be. You might reinterpret the things that you're thinking and feeling. Our ability to understand who we are called to be as individuals and as a church family is dependent on us having relationships that allow us to have meaningful conversations about who we are and about who we want to be. So as we think together as a congregation this month about what it means for God to make all things new, I encourage you to be open to new ways of thinking about your own calling and to be intentional about helping others in the church to discern their own calls. As we sing the Zulu hymn, Tum Amina, I invite you to take a moment for reflection and prayer. So if we can take just a couple of minutes here, and then we'll sing Tum Amina.